The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayaprataka Swami Maharaj on March 18, 1981. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Texts 1 and 2.
Text 1, translation. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O King, while Maitreya the great sage was thus speaking, Vidura, the learned son of Dvaipayana Vyas, expressed a request in a pleasing manner by asking this question. Translation by Srila Prabhupada with repetition. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O King, while Maitreya, the great sage, was thus speaking, Vidura, the learned son of Dvaipayana Vyas, expressed a request in a pleasing manner by asking this question.
Vidurvach Brahman Kotang Bhagavatas Chinmatrasya Vikarina Lilaya Chapi Jujiran Nyagunasya Guna Kriyaha.
Translation. By His Divine Grace Srila Eshi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Vidura said, O great Brahmana, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the complete spiritual whole and is unchangeable, how is he connected with the material modes of nature and their activities? If this is his pastime, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and exhibit qualities without the modes of nature? Translation with repetition. Sri Vidura said, as described in the previous chapter, the differences between the Super Soul, the Supreme Lord, and the living entities is that the activities of the Lord in creating the cosmic manifestation are performed by the Lord through the agency of His multifarious energies. But this manifestation is bewildering to the living entities. The Lord is therefore the master of the energies, whereas the living entities are subjugated by them. By asking various questions about transcendental activities, Vidura is clearing the misconception that when the Lord either descends on the earth in His incarnation or appears Himself with all His potencies, He too is subjected to the influence of Maya, just like an ordinary living entity. This is generally the calculation of less intelligent philosophers who consider the position of the Lord and that of the living entities to be on the same level. Vidura is hearing the great sage Maitreya refute these arguments. The Lord is described in this verse as Chinmatra, or completely spiritual. The personality of God has unlimited potencies to create and manifest many wonderful things, both temporary and permanent. Because this material world is the creation of His external energy, It thus appears to be temporary. It is manifested at certain intervals, maintained for some time, and again dissolved and conserved in his own energy. As described in Bhagavad Gita, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate, 8:19. But the creation of his internal potency, the spiritual world, is not a temporary manifestation like the material world, but is eternal and full of transcendental knowledge, opulence, energy, strength, beauties, and glories. Such manifestations of the Lord's potencies are eternal and are therefore called nirguna, or free from all tinges of the modes of material nature. Even up to the mode of material goodness. The spiritual world is transcendental even to material goodness and thus is unchangeable. Since the Supreme Lord of such eternal and unchangeable qualities is never subjugated by anything like material influence, how can his activities and form be conceived to be under the influence of illusory maya, as is the case with the living entities? A juggler or magician displays many wonders with his acts and arts. He can become a cow by his magical tactics. And yet he is not that cow. But at the same time, the cow displayed by the magician is not different from him. Similarly, the material potency is not very different, is not different from the Lord, because it is an emanation from him. But at the same time, that potential manifestation is not the Supreme Lord. The Lord's transcendental knowledge and potency always remain the same. They do not change, even when displayed in the material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord descends on the earth by his own eternal potency, and therefore there is no question of his becoming materially contaminated, changed, or otherwise affected by the modes of material nature. The Lord is saguna by his own internal potency, but at the same time he is nirguna, since he is not in touch with the material energy. The restrictions of the prison house are applicable to prisoners who are condemned by the king's law. But the king is never affected by such implications, although he may visit the prison house out of his goodwill. In the Vishnu Purana, the six opulences of the Lord are stated to be non-different from him. The opulences of transcendental knowledge, strength, opulence, potency, beauty, and renunciation are all identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he personally displays such opulences in the material world, they have no connection with the modes of material nature. The word chinmatra-tvam is the guarantee that the Lord's activities are always transcendental. Even when displayed in the material world, his activities are as good as the Supreme Personality himself. Otherwise, liberated devotees like Sukadeva Goswami would not have been attracted by them. Vidura inquired how the Lord's activities can be in the modes of material nature. As is sometimes miscalculated by persons with a poor fund of knowledge, in the inebriety of the material qualities, the inebriety of the material qualities is due to the difference between the material body and the spirit soul. The conditioned soul's activities are displayed through the medium of the modes of material nature and therefore perverted in appearance. However, the Lord's body and the Lord himself are one and the same. And when the Lord's activities are displayed, they are certainly not different from the Lord in all respects. The conclusion is that persons who consider the Lord's activities materially are certainly mistaken. Thus, in the purport, the Bhaktivedanta purport of text 2, chapter 7, canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Sri Vidura has asked such a poignant question. So exact. The question is given in such exact terminology that no one can help but admire how clear and how clear is the question and how pure is the understanding of Vidura. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the complete spiritual whole and is unchangeable. First of all, Vidura defines Krishna, defines the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he has no doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the complete whole. There's nothing outside of Krishna. Complete whole means there's nothing outside of Krishna. That means that there's nothing independent of Krishna and is unchangeable. But Krishna, he is not a product of material energy. Products of material energy are always changing their shape. This temple room was at one time colored. Now it is white. But every day, due to the pigeons' influence, it is changing its shape. And therefore it has to always be cleaned and maintained. And not only this temple, but we see even ancient temples, thousands of years old, due to the wind, due to the rain, due to the elements, due to time passing, they change their shape. Because they're material energy. But Krishna, he doesn't change his shape. He does not decay or grow old in a material sense. He doesn't go through any of these changes. He's permanent. He's eternal. Navayovanam cha. He's always youthful. Akoi, achuta. He's indestructible, infallible. So Vidura understood that. So he's, just to make very clear, he has faith. He knows that Krishna is the supreme whole. Nothing is independent of him, and he has got transcendental form, which is unchangeable, which is fully spiritual. But his question, so considering that Krishna is completely different from the material nature, that he is completely transcendental, at the same time we know that this is Vrindavan, he comes here. He comes and he performs his pastimes within the purview of the vision of the people of this world sometimes. So how is he connected with the material nature when he comes here? How is he connected? And how are his activities connected with the activities of the material nature? If at all. This is Vidura's doubt or his question. Just to clarify the point. Actually, for our benefit, he's asking. So then, so if this is his pastime, in other words, he already knows the answer. That if you're going to reply that this is his pastime, that actually it's not material activity, his activities are spiritual. He's already answered the question. So he knows what the materialist asks. So he wants to hear from a real authority what is the best answer. So we can see Vidura, it wasn't that he actually didn't know that Krishna's activities are transcendental, he is transcendental, but just to get the answer from Maitreya, just to hear it from such a great authority, he's asking this question. So if this is his pastime, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place? So then, if these are all Krishna's pastimes, but they appear to always be changeable, changing, to always be new and fresh, yet he's unchangeable. So how is this happening? how can he exhibit qualities since he doesn't have any material connection, any connection with the material qualities? This is a very high question. Bits and pieces of this question are always asked to devotees. And this is a basic understanding of our Krishna conscious movement is based on understanding the tattvas, the truths contained within this sloka and this question. And Prabhupada so kindly, he answered to us that yes, Krishna comes to this material world as described in Bhagavad Gita on his own internal potency. He's not dependent on the material nature. It's not that he had to be born by mother and father. That was his wish that he chose to be accepted as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. But when he appeared, he was in full knowledge, in his full opulences. It was not that he was forced to take his own sweet will. And when he came right from birth, he had full knowledge, full opulence, full all the qualities. Then he said, all right, I'll take a child form. You take me over to Nandagram. You take me to the house of Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. So, Krishna has form, but that form is not material form. He has spiritual form. That there is spiritual quality, this people who are less intelligent don't understand. So, all these things are cleared up by this question. That Krishna, like a magician, he is appearing to the materialists to be material. But to the spiritualists, they understand that he is not material. Actually, he is completely spiritual. This is the difference. Actually, Krishna has nothing to do with the material energy. But since when he comes here, he has to interact with pure devotees and with others. So even the others can see him, but they don't see him clearly as he is. They see him like a magician showing, they can see Krishna, but they can't understand his real position because they don't have the vision of love. Unless one is a devotee and has the eyes of love, Krishna covers himself from their vision by the clouds of Maya. Just like the sun covers, it's covered from our vision by the clouds. Actually, the sun creates those clouds. Because by the sun's radiation, the evaporation causes of the water vapor from the earth, comes up into the atmosphere, creates clouds, and those clouds are covering our vision from the sun. So in the same way, Krishna, in a similar way, Krishna, he creates his energies called Mahamaya, Yoga Maya. And these energies, depending on whether we are spiritually or materially situated, they keep us under their shelter. Under the shelter of Mahamaya, illusory energy means to be in ignorance of Krishna. And to be under the shelter of Yoga Maya or the spiritual energy means to be under Krishna's direct loving shelter. So, Vrindavana, this is a holy dham. Krishna appears here. He performs his pastime. So many devotees come with him. And they enjoy these transcendental activities. Devotional service is very simple, yet it is very deep. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, Para para sunna govir bhakti rasa sindhu tumai chakaiti ami kuhiyako bindu, that the ocean of transcendental devotional service is so deep, is so long and so wide that there's no limit to its length, breadth, or depth. It's unlimited. So how is it possible for me to describe the length, breadth, and depth, the limits of this devotional service? Lord Chaitanya expressed his incapability. It's not possible for me to fully express everything about devotional service because it's unlimited, just like Krishna is unlimited. But I'm giving you just one drop from that ocean, Rupa Goswami, and by that one drop, you will be able to experience a realization which will give you a grasp, an understanding of the nature of that whole ocean. Just as when the Lord comes personally performing his activities with his devotees, it's all transcendental. Similarly, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the Guru Parampara, we should know that those activities, they're all transcendental. Actually, this is a strict 7:30?
No.
Srila Prabhupada wrote a nice poem, which is very long. I wouldn't be able to finish it today. Maybe even more than one or two verses, which he entitled Vrindavani Bhajan. Performing the bhajan in Vrindavan. The worship of Krishna in Vrindavan. So I was feeling that if the Vaishnavas wanted, I'd like to get permission to start discussing that, and maybe in the future even to translate and write it for their benefit.
John,
So the first verse is Vrindavana dhame ami bose achi ekha e bhavana madhye madhye deya more dekha. Srila Prabhupada is saying, actually he's taking, using the first person, but he's describing someone else. He's describing a person sitting in Vrindavana, all alone. And he's thinking that Krishna, you should give me your darshan. Actually, Vrindavan Dham is a holy Dham. And in Vrindavan we can see Krishna. Krishna is visible, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers have described. Adyapiha lila kore gorarai, kono kono bhagyavan dekhe bare pai. That even today, one can see the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who are very, very fortunate. So similarly in Vrindavana, one can see Krishna. No doubt, his pastimes are still going on. But they're invisible to the materialist. They're invisible to those who are in material consciousness. They're only visible to those who are very fortunate. What is that fortune? And what is that materialism? The materialism are those attitudes and mentalities which keep us from seeing Krishna. Material means that which is not. That which is not letting us see Krishna. And spiritualism, transcendentalism, means that which is giving us the association and the vision and the service, the connection with Krishna, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sitting in Vrindavan alone, avoiding, alone means what? Avoiding association of other Vaishnavas. That means alone. Thinking that now I'm going to break away from the pack. I'm going to go and see Krishna. Just like the spiritual master is leading the birds. You see, just like a bird is leading so many other birds when they're going in migration. Like that, the spiritual master is leading so many other birds. If one bird thinks, now I'm going to go and fly out by myself and beat everyone to it, he'll get lost. He can't do that. He has to go on following the lead bird. Because the lead bird is already in touch with Krishna, with the goal. Similarly, the spiritual master is already in touch with Krishna. And he's leading us to Krishna. So we have to follow. So subtly, grossly, there are mentalities which put us apart from Vaishnavas. Gross bhukti, someone who we see that someone desires material sense gratification, immediately puts him separate from the Vaishnavas. I have to have a very big apartment, I have to have nice facilities. Immediately, he's isolated from other Vaishnavas, because then he has to work so hard to maintain his material facilities, rather than accepting whatever comes easily on its own accord. So, bhukti, that is one materialistic attitude. To desire so many materialistic amenities and niceties, comfortable living, sometimes grihasthas or the household devotees in our movement, they give up the attitude of preaching spirit and think that first I have to make a very, very nice, comfortable situation for my grihastha life. Otherwise, I can't be happy. This is my duty. And we see that as a result, they put themselves isolated from the other Vaishnavas. At the same time, they keep the spirit, I'm a devotee, I want to see Krishna, I want to do everything. But because of their material desires, they're actually, because they've given up the preaching spirit of helping with compassion those who are in misery, those who are the fallen souls in this material world, by giving them the gift of Krishna consciousness. And they have taken that off of the central as the central objective of their life. And instead they have put on their life the first comfortable living first, then I will preach, then I will do my service. What happens? They get involved in fruitive activities, they're isolated from devotees, they get misled. Bhukti, mukti. To want to see Krishna itself is like a desire for liberation. Five types of liberation are there. The Vaishnava, the devotee, he never wants merging. That's a spiritual suicide. Only the most less intelligent of transcendentalists, they want this type of merging. For the spiritualist, personalist devotee, the Vaishnava, this type of desire for material liberation, liberation from material energy, is complete death. But even for them, for the pure devotee to desire the other four type of liberation is considered a type of disease. Like a spiritual disease, as compared to material disease. It's very subtle. It takes away the most finest essence of pure devotional spirit. It takes away the finer, higher taste of spontaneous devotional service, which gives relishment for pure love of Krishna, which is the summum bonum of spiritual realization. So, someone who is sitting alone, that means now, instead of being with the association of devotees, chanting in the Sankirtan, or engaging in the joint classes, engaging in the joint activities, cooperating with other God brothers and other devotees for preaching. In other words, engage in the Sankirtan movement with full heart, soul. And instead thinking, now I'm going to achieve Krishna. Now I'm going to taste Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his followers, our Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, they have advised us to always stay in association of devotees, preaching, tasting the nectar of the Sankirtan movement, the Sankirtan rasa, the nectar of the Sankirtan congregational chanting and preaching the glories of the holy name through book distribution as well as through preaching and singing the glories. So when someone desires, instead of serving the Lord, spreading His glories, delivering out of compassion the fallen souls, that now I will achieve Krishna, it's an impediment. Those who have already achieved Krishna, they are sitting in Vrindavan, chanting in perfect perfection. No incongruity, no mistake. But those who haven't achieved Krishna, they shouldn't be sitting in Vrindavan thinking, how I will achieve Krishna. I will go by myself, I will stay by myself, and I will absorb myself in different type of bhajan, worship, or even chanting, or whatever. That's not the means for achieving Krishna. That is to be performed when one has already achieved Krishna. Then you can sit in Vrindavan and serve Krishna in the pure consciousness, because you've already achieved Krishna. But to achieve Krishna, one should engage in Sankirtan. One should engage in the congregational. Congregationally with so many devotees, not ekka, not alone. With so many devotees, chanting, hearing, remembering, serving, all the practices of devotional service can be performed. And that joint cooperative spirit of preaching this Krishna conscious movement or this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is real nectar. So, this person that Srila Prabhupada is portraying, he's not in that mood. He's sitting in Vrindavan. Or in other words, he's sitting in some spiritual atmosphere. But instead of being in the spirit of devotional service, the congregational devotional movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's got off into some different mood where he's thinking that now I have to see Krishna, now I have to achieve Krishna. And that chanting, that single purpose, that is his activity. Not that now I have to serve Krishna, now let Krishna see me. Now let Krishna notice my devotional service through my sincere efforts. So, the second verse is, Ache morsti putro kunna nati sab kintu artha nai boli vifala bhoivav. I've got wife, kids, daughters, granddaughters, sons, Everyone. All type of relatives. But because I don't have any money, it's all fruitless. It's all useless. The Prabhupada goes on to describe that this person is, he has all type of connections, wife, children, and it's not that he's actually lost his attachment for these things and is actually attached to Krishna, but because there's so much difficulty due to lack of finance, due to material problems, he's given them up from a negative aspect. Now he's come and now he wants to see Krishna. But the whole thing is from a material bhoga-aishwaryam prasakta-naam bhoga-tyaga syndrome, as we call it. That first he was enjoying, he didn't like it, now he's given up. Now instead of going for liberation in the ordinary sense, because he's a kanishtha adhikari, obviously, he's a devotee in the first, the third, that means the lowest status of devotional service. So instead of desiring gross liberation by merging, he wants to see Krishna. He wants to achieve Krishna's association. But he's obviously not qualified, because he's still completely attached to wife, children, family in a material sense. He's only given them up because it was difficult. Materially difficult. Not because he's been drawn to Krishna out of his spontaneous devotional service, but because it was his duty, it was difficult. Somehow or another he's given up attachment to family and relatives. And now he's come to Vrindavana to achieve Krishna. Rather, he should be trying to achieve the association of Krishna's devotees, those who are practicing bhakti yogis, and along with them engage in the sankirtan practice of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And working together with those Vaishnavas, with those dedicated devotees, for preaching the glories of this holy name. So he is not on that platform. Instead, he has gone simply to desire Krishna directly, which is offensive. Because this is rash to jump up so quickly to such a high position. When one can automatically achieve Krishna very easily by associating with the Vaishnavas and serving with him, following in the footsteps of the great souls. So, these are the first two verses of the performing worship in Vrindavana poem by Srila Prabhupada. This we'll have to continue some other time.